I was very pleased to see the discussion about the issue of heresy taking place in the Jewish times. And there was a writer who seemed to agree with the position of the Jewish times that the statements in the Tanya referring to the idea that the horrendous idea, preposterous notion, that there is, it's a heretical notion, that there is a peace, so to speak, of God, I can't even say a thing like this, in each person, is heresy. This indeed is heresy. It is a nullification of the fundamental idea that we have about God, that God is unlike, that God is apart, different, separate from the creation. And everything that exists aside from God is separate from God and is in the realm of the created. Thus, the idea that there is a piece of God in the created is sheer blasphemy. It's denial of the fundamental idea of Judaism about our whole notion of God, our whole idea of God, and about the unity of God, that God is not composed of parts. And there cannot be a part of God, because God, first and foremost, is not a being that has parts. This notion has no place in Judaism and has the effect of corrupting the most fundamental aspect of Judaism, our concept of God, our true concept of God. Yichud Hashem, the unity of God. With regard to the writer who wrote a letter, it's not exactly clear what the intention was. He does seem to support the Jewish times in saying that they have an obligation to speak out against heresy. It seems, however, that he was leaving open the possibility that maybe the statement was not heretical. I do agree with that writer that in dealing with these kinds of issues, we should avoid personalities. We should never be attacking any personality or any author. That's not the intention. However, we have an obligation to deal with the statement. This means we have to read the statement, we have to understand the statement. Now, we can't critique a statement before we understand it. So we have to take great care that we understand it properly and not do any disservice to the author by giving the statement a different meaning. That would be a despicable thing to do, to distort the statement, give it a meaning that's contrary to what the author intended, and then attack it, as though that's what the author was saying. Now, it seems to me that in this situation, that did not occur, because the quotation from the Tanya is absolutely clear as to what the intention was, what it was that the author wanted the reader to understand. Indeed, he added the word mamash, which means true, actually so. That is to say that when the person made the statement that there's that the soul of man is a part of God, I don't know what that would have meant, but if he wouldn't have said mamash, maybe it would have had some kind of a metaphorical meaning that we could have assigned to it, and therefore would not have been heretical. However, he then added, he himself was concerned. He thought that the reader, upon reading such a thing, would be astounded, because it contradicts everything of Judaism. And because the reader would be astounded, he might not take it literally and assign to it a metaphorical meaning. Therefore, he said that he wants the word mamash to mean that it should not be explained in a metaphorical way, but it should be taken literally. When an author tells you that that is exactly what he means, then it doesn't leave any other room. You do not have any right to take it any other way. Because he's telling you, he's made it clear as day. And if we can't understand the plain meaning of words, there's no point reading or studying anything. It is therefore clear that the intention of the author was to communicate that this idea of the soul of man being literally, actually, a part of God should be taken literally, and once you say that, it is heretical. And there's no wiggle room over here. there's absolutely no room to take it any other way. And once we've established that this is heresy, the question then becomes, how are we to react to it? It seems to me that the Jewish people have a mission, that the Jewish people have an obligation to fight and to take great risks to any extent to oppose the notion of, which would contradict the unity of God. And failure to respond to this, in my opinion, is a grave sin. Because it means that the Jew, who was charged with the mission of teaching the world about God, and about fighting against any desecration of God, and this is a desecration of God, the worst kind of desecration of God, because you're diminishing God. You're denying God, the truth of God. Thus, Jews may not stand idly by and allow this to happen. And therefore, we all should support the author, the writer of the Jewish Times, for what he's doing in taking up this great battle. This is a great and a noble battle. It's a battle that's worth fighting, because it's L'shem Shemayim. I do believe that the one who wrote the letter was expressing praise, was congratulating the Jewish Times for taking this position, but seemed a little bit ambivalent and was asking questions that, if this is the case, why haven't the authorities of the Jewish people protested? Well, according to him, one could ask the same question, because he says that the statement, as understood by people, is clearly heretical. Only, he's saying, we don't know what the author intended, but what difference does it make? Well, I would ask, according to his position, that if this is the way everybody who reads it takes it, and it leads to heresy, so then, according to him, why aren't the leaders, the authorities, protesting? It's the same result. They should protest it. It doesn't matter. The intention of the author is not what counts. It's the effect of the words that you write. What effect does this have on people? What idea does it lead them to? If it leads them to heresy, then you can't justify yourself by saying, I didn't mean that. You may not have meant that, but that's exactly what you wrote. So therefore, the question as to the failure to protest is a question on everyone. Once we've established that this statement leads to a belief which is clearly heretical. I can't answer that question. However, I do believe that the failure to respond to this type of thing is a very, very serious matter, and leads to tremendous difficulties for the Jewish people. In my opinion, the failure to respond to this kind of thing is a grave sin. It's the expectation of Torah that the Jewish people have been raised to a level where they are prepared to understand, to do battle for the fundamental concepts, and not to be deluded by any other consideration. Not to say that it's more important that we don't offend people, that the desire not to offend people has now superseded the imperative of fundamental truths of Judaism. That is a false attitude. We never see it. The classical example would be the case of the Egel Hazav, the Egel, where the Jewish people departed from the true idea of how to relate to God. And they fashioned an object, Avodah Zarah. And God said to Moshe, he's going to destroy the Jewish people, and I'll make a new nation out of Moshe. And Moshe prayed on behalf of the Jewish people. And the arguments that he brings forth are very important. And God acceded to the arguments of Moshe. However, the fact of the matter is that Moshe then descended and he confronted the people and he forced them to burn the golden calf and to grind into ashes and mix it with water and make them drink it. And indeed, Hirgu Ishbiachiv, the command was that each man should kill his brother if his brother was indeed guilty of idolatry. When it comes to idolatry, all other considerations, family relationships, social cohesion, friendships, all of the social factors go by the wayside. And that has to be the case in these kinds of things. That is to say that if we value, if it's more important that we have groups and we're united, and that becomes more important than the purpose of Jewish unity, which is to proclaim Yichud Hashem, then we're indeed in big trouble.